Hey, welcome back. So for those that are just joining, every episode I interview a new guest that gives us big insights for our own small business. We have raw and real conversations with guests that give us tactical advice that we can actually apply. So in this episode, I wanted to have a chat with Daryl from Canada's 2SLGBTQI plus Chamber of Commerce, because I only learned about them more recently and what they have to offer. And so we've decided to jump in with both feet because we found that they and us have similar values. And so we've actually become Rainbow accredited and even a national corporate partner. And so ZenBooks is actually the only accounting firm in Canada to be a corporate partner with Canada's 2SLGBTQI plus Chamber of Commerce. And that's baffling to me. And it speaks volumes about the traditional archaic accounting firms out there. And so I found this episode to be a good opportunity to ask a lot of the questions that many small business owners are wondering themselves and sometimes a bit too shy to kind of ask. So listen up and let's jump in.
The more diversity that you're bringing into your supply base, the more creativity, the greater the innovation that you're going to realize.
You're busy, we know. We cut through the BS and give you straight talk advice, whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just starting out. Our Small Business Big Insights podcast dives straight to the point on key topics and features interviews with industry experts and successful small business owners who share their deep insights. Tune in each month to gain new ideas and inspiration for your own small business. So welcome to the Small Business Big Insights podcast. So excited to share this episode today with some big insights from our very special guest, Daryl Sherman, who helps us better understand the intersect and dynamics of the LGBT plus and business community in Canada. I invite you right now to follow our podcast on your podcast provider of choice so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. Also, give us a review on your podcast provider of choice to help spread the message. Let us know how we're doing. So today we're joined by Daryl Sherman. He is the advocate for economic empowerment of LGBT plus entrepreneurs. He is the co-founder and CEO of the LGBT Chamber of Commerce. That's the CGLCC, a national not-for-profit organization with a mission to expand the opportunities and advancement of the LGBT plus business community in Canada. Daryl also sits on the Supplier Advisory Committee, which is the Public Services and Procurement Canada, and the Procurement Modernization Strategic Engagement Committee, so which is with Shared Services Canada. Daryl is the founding member of the Supplier Diversity Alliance of Canada, a national organization dedicated to the advancement of research, education, and advocacy of supplier diversity in Canada. Daryl is also the co-founder of the Canadian Gay and Lesbian Business Education Foundation and Travel Gay Canada. Daryl completed his Bachelor's of Commerce degree at the University of Calgary and completed his Executive MBA from the Richard Ivey School of Business and Western University. We're so lucky to have Daryl with us today for some big insights. Welcome.
Good morning.
Let's get right into it. So why does the LGBT plus community need a Chamber of Commerce? Like, what does the Chamber actually do for small business owners?
Yeah, our mandate, so we've been around for 20 years. Our mandate has always been to improve the economic opportunities for the 2SLGBTQI plus business community, really to make sure that they have equal opportunities and access to compete just like everyone else. And so, you know, we encourage our businesses to engage and be part of other chambers of commerce and mainstream chambers of commerce. So we're certainly not replacing those other chambers of commerce. But what we're doing is really filling a gap, filling a void where we know that our businesses and the 2SLGBTQI business community don't have those same opportunities in mainstream chambers. So that's really what we're doing. It's filling those voids, filling those gaps where some of those other chambers may not be able to support our businesses.
Right. Okay. And I guess, like, for me, when I'm looking at the LGBT plus community, I feel like it's starting to get a little bit fragmented with, you know, provincial groups, there's nonprofits, there's, you know, regional groups, and there's been kind of a shift from the LGBT plus acronym to now the 2SLGBTQI plus. And so do you feel that, you know, there's people that are well-intentioned and are becoming a little bit hesitant to kind of doing something wrong by accident and kind of like feeling that they're being accused of doing something wrong when they don't have bad intentions, right? Like, do you feel like things are kind of getting fragmented and
or do you feel that these groups are kind of coming together?
It's a great question. I think that the community is continually evolving, and you know, our goal, and I think in broad the 2S LGBTQI community continues to make sure that we're including the entire range and the broad range of our community members. And so you mentioned the acronym, and so you know, we just this year evolved our name to now be Canada's 2S LGBTQI plus Chamber of Commerce, moving from LGBT plus Chamber. And it really is in terms of that evolution that I mentioned, you know, and really recognizing for us, a big part of it was recognizing our Indigenous community members and making sure that we identify those that identify as Two-Spirit, and putting them at the front of the acronym, and to really recognize that they were here first, and then, you know, that they are an important part of our community, and recognizing that. And again, adding in Q recently, you know, to recognize our queer community members. So I think it's really about an evolution to make sure that we're continually recognizing all of our community members, making sure that they are included in part of the work that we're doing, and broadly, you know, other civil society organizations are doing. So I think, I don't know if I'd say it's fragmented. I'd actually say it's coming together, right, more, and making sure that we're recognizing each and every one of our community members as much as we can.
Okay. No, that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't actually know the history of the Two-Spirited and how it actually comes to at first, because they were here before us, and that's really interesting. And I know I've spoken to some small business owners, and I think they appreciate the idea of having diversity in their suppliers, and they appreciate that that's, you know, quote unquote, the right thing to do. But I think, I guess for small business owners, sometimes it's hard to even just make a profit as a small business owner. Like, it's hard to even get by. Mm-hmm. And so is this something that's actually for small business owners, like, or is it bigger businesses? Because in some cases it could lead to higher costs or supply chain issues, you know?
So one of our core programs that we run at the Chamber is what we call supplier diversity. Mm-hmm. And so basically we act as a certifying body for LGBTQ owned businesses. And the reason is we know that LGBTQ businesses are underrepresented in corporate and public supply chain. So we know that, and I say LGBTQ, but also just diverse businesses, mm-hmm, broadly are underrepresented in supply chain. And so the goal with supplier diversity is to try to level the playing field here, is try to make sure that we have more diverse businesses that have the opportunity to equally compete for procurement opportunities, and to be able to at least help them get their foot in the door. We know that, unfortunately, many corporations, you know, when they're looking to procure goods and services, they tend to use the same suppliers, the same businesses that they've used year over year over, mm-hmm, year. And so what the program is doing, supplier diversity program is doing, is really helping to make sure that corporations are starting to look at and consider other businesses that they may not have looked at before. Okay. So it's not about preferential treatment. It's not saying, you know, we're looking to, you need to hire or need to engage more diverse owned businesses. It's at least giving them the opportunity to compete. And they then have to compete as everyone else will. So in competing on price, on quality, on innovation. But it's that, at least that opportunity for them to get that foot in the door, like I mentioned. So supplier diversity really is around creating that, helping to drive economic empowerment for our community by helping them, you know, access opportunities. Then what that's doing is then they're creating employment, they're creating, they're growing the tax base in their local communities. It's helping then the marginalized community members within those other communities. So the impact of supplier diversity is very significant. So I guess back to your question around, you know, we're struggling just to kind of, you know, continue to grow and support our businesses. I think initiatives like this and strategies like this are really important for businesses, for small businesses to be able to continue to grow. And then those businesses that start to look at diversifying their supply chain and looking to engage with other businesses, that they typically wouldn't. What that's doing is really twofold. There's you know, that opportunity to make sure, again, as kind of alluded to, you know, helping to support those marginalized and historically underrepresented groups. But there's also a business case for this. We know that the more that you start to diversify your supplier base and your supply chain, what that's doing is it's bringing innovation to your organization, to your company. It's bringing different perspectives, different ways to look at problems. And it's also helping to engage then perhaps different customer base as well. So I think that there are significant business advantages of why organizations want to diversify their supply chain by bringing in LGBTQ and other diverse owned businesses to their procurement practices. So
yeah, I like that.
Hopefully that makes sense. It does.
I mean, I think there's a lot of like unexpected benefits from all of this, right? Like it's kind of getting that diverse opinion or getting kind of just a new perspective from your suppliers on like, hey, why do we do this way? Or why do we do it that way? And getting kind of like a new perspective that you might not be used to, right? So I think, yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it's very similar to why we want to have a diverse workforce. Right. You know, we want to have diversity within our employees because, again, they're bringing different ways to different perspectives, different ways to approach issues or problems or challenges. And so the same can be said with your suppliers. The more diversity that you're bringing into your supply base, the more creativity, the greater the innovation that you're going to realize.
Yeah. And the reality is that if you keep going to your least expensive supplier, that's just a race to the bottom. Because if all the competitors did that, then there's no creativity, there's no innovation, everyone's offering the same thing. You know, you might as well get that kind of like new, fresh perspective that maybe not every business owner is doing. So it can give you that, yeah, competitive edge. That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we've found is actually there's top line and bottom line advantages to supplier diversity. So those organizations that have implemented, you know, these procurement or inclusive procurement practices have realized both top line and bottom line. So, you know, in terms of, like I mentioned, you know, growing your consumer base, consumers are looking for organizations that have inclusive policies and practices, right? And, you know, that supply chain and procurement is especially over the last few years, has really risen top of mind, I think, in consumers' minds. And they're very conscious now of what are the corporations doing with their spend? How are they supporting the communities in which they operate and that they live in? So so really, you know, we've seen that, you know, it helps to strengthen that connection with your customer base and helps to then drive greater sales. And then on the bottom line, it helps to reduce certain costs. So it's reducing... you know, one thing, for instance, is reducing employee turnover and helping to attract employees. We know in today's really challenging labor market situation that we want to try to attract and retain the best and top talent that we can. And we know that talent is looking for organizations that have aligned and shared values with them. And so this is, we found that supplier diversity is one way that can really help create that strong connection between employees and their employer. So, you know, just an example of how that can help to reduce some of those labor costs.
So your group also has a listing of 2SLGBTQI plus owned businesses, and they do the certification as well. And so people can go through that certification and identify themselves. And so I'd noted on your website, you had a stat of 1 in 4 2SLGBTQI plus business owners believe that they've lost opportunities because they've identified. And so why would a business owner identify themselves as being part of that community if they could lose business?
Yeah, and that's a good point. And it goes back to, you know, part of the goal of supplier diversity is really to work with governments, work with corporations to help them understand that they need to engage and actively support diverse owned businesses, and in our case, you know, 2SLGBTQ owned businesses. Because what happens is if a business owner doesn't feel comfortable coming out, and it's, you know, there's that similarity again to your employee base. If you have employees or if you have business owners that don't feel comfortable in being out and aren't bringing their whole selves to work, what that's doing is it's impacting their ability to grow their business. And so what we're trying to do here is work with our small businesses, our LGBTQ small businesses, help them to understand the value of being out, to be able to be the best business that they can by bringing their whole selves to their company. And then at the same time, working with Corporate Canada and governments to really understand the value that comes with engaging diverse-owned businesses. So you're right. It's one of our biggest challenges is helping queer entrepreneurs, queer business owners understand the importance of coming out, of self-identifying, of understanding the benefit that can come with self-identifying, and then helping them to overcome some of those barriers that still, unfortunately, do still exist, you know. And so, you know, certainly the loss of business and is one of those, but we also know that access to mentorship, access to capital are other barriers and challenges that, you know, our queer businesses and entrepreneurs still face. And so the more that they're able to identify, self-identify, and we can then better are in a better position to be able to support them. So a lot of the work that we're doing then is to help these businesses overcome some of those challenges and barriers. And so the more that they come out, the more that we're able to then provide better support, targeted support to help them overcome some of those challenges.
Interesting. Yeah. So it sounds like there's basically they're going to lose maybe a little bit of business from people that don't align in values with them, but there's also a big upside in many other ways. And so the upsides kind of outweigh the downsides. And I guess from our own perspective, like for our own firm, like I feel like we've tried to take a conscious effort to just show our values on our sleeve, right? And just let everybody know what our values are so that we can attract like-minded people. Because truthfully, if we can have employees that are like-minded to us, if we can have suppliers that are like-minded to us, if we can have clients that are like-minded to us, we're all going to enjoy our day just a little bit better. And so like, I think that that is like a real authentic kind of like personality that comes out in your brand as a small business owner when you show like real authentic kind of values and beliefs coming out. And I think that, yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. And I also appreciate that it might not be an easy situation for every 2S LGBTQ entrepreneur to come out, depending on the industry that they work in, depending on the location that they are. It may not be the best decision for them, you know? And I think that every case is, you know, is unique. But our goal is to be able to help support and help to drive that change across the country, help to try to drive greater inclusion for our entrepreneurs and greater access to opportunities. And so, you know, we certainly still have a long road ahead of us. There's a lot of work still to be done. But I think that the more that we can help to continue to drive that awareness and start to kind of shift some of those, that understanding of you know, what our business community faces, I think that will then help to drive greater economic opportunities for all of Canada, and certainly then help to drive greater social change for our community.
This episode of Small Business Big Insights is brought to you by ZenBooks. ZenBooks is a reimagined full-service online accounting experience. I work at ZenBooks, and we bring a fresh, unique, and modern approach to a very old-fashioned industry. We've been working remotely well before it was cool. And we're a team of advisors, accountants, and payroll professionals that provide ongoing, impactful insights to small business owners and key decision makers. That means that we get into the nitty-gritty of weekly calls with ongoing reporting, bookkeeping, payroll, tax filings, and tax planning. Even if you already have an accountant or a bookkeeper, or you have some accounting staff on your team, you should talk to ZenBooks about the tools and expertise that they have to offer. Check out ZenBooks at zenbooks.ca. Now let's get back to the episode.
I know the Chamber has like an entrepreneurship program for these businesses that identify. How does that work? Can you walk me through that?
Yeah, you know, this is a really exciting program that we just announced in June. This is actually with the support of the federal government. The federal government announced a $25 million commitment over 3 years to support 2S LGBTQI plus entrepreneurs across the country. And there's really three kind of core areas of this program. The first is what we're calling the ecosystem fund. And that is really meant to help strengthen nationally strengthen the ecosystem, those organizations that are there to support the 2S LGBTQI plus entrepreneurs. Sadly, in Canada, there's not a lot of regional or local organizations that are dedicated to supporting the 2S LGBTQI plus business community. So with this, through this kind of this pillar, we'll be able to help provide capacity building development for these organizations, help them to develop and deliver new programs to support entrepreneurs. And really at the end of the day, ultimately supporting, you know, at the local and regional level, entrepreneurs helping to overcome some of those barriers and challenges that we talked about. So that's kind of the one pillar. The second pillar is really around what we're calling the knowledge hub. And so it's really around identifying and collecting more data and research and understanding of the ecosystem of the business community itself. You know, and some of, again, being able to dig deeper into some of those challenges that maybe there's a lot of regional or local challenges and barriers that we, you know, not aware of. And so this knowledge hub pillar will be able to really give us a stronger understanding of what additional supports are needed out there. And then the third pillar is what we call the scale up pillar. And that is really then for us to actually deliver specific programming meant to help the 2S LGBTQI plus entrepreneurs coast to coast. So we'll be building out things like a national mentorship program meant to support our businesses accessing, you know, a mentor that has shared and lived experiences that can help them overcome some of the business challenges that they may be facing. So, you know, mentorship is one. You know, we're going to be building out an access to capital program that'll be really designed to at least identify at this stage, identify, you know, what sort of supports are needed to help our businesses access capital. So it's also going to have a global component to help our businesses access global markets. So helping them to identify, you know, and provide training for them to expand outside of the domestic marketplace. And really just to be able to strengthen the connections and the networks that they have, you know, regionally, locally, nationally, to be able to help to grow their business, to scale their business, to continue to succeed. So, you know, kind of three very distinct pillars, all with, at the end of the day, with an ultimate goal of helping to advance opportunities for our business community. So we're really excited about this program. We are, like I said, it was just announced in June. So we're slowly rolling it out. We as an organization ourselves are scaling up to try to kind of be able to deliver this. And so over the coming months, you're going to be hearing some really exciting announcements coming out from us about some of the initiatives. So certainly encourage everyone listening to stay tuned and to kind of continue to follow us to continue to get more information on where we're at.
Yeah, that sounds like a great program. And I'm so glad to kind of see that the federal government's kind of showing that level of support. That's great. And I guess for small business owners, is there anything that they can do to kind of show their support? Like, is there, like, I understand that, you know, businesses like really shouldn't just make a rainbow kind of version of their logo. Like, there's other things that they should do that really show real support. And kind of walk us through some of that.
Yeah, you know, I think we've heard a lot of criticism over the last little while, and especially around Pride season, about, you know, what they call rainbow washing or pink washing. You know, those organizations, those companies that just kind of slap a rainbow flag on their window or on their logo, mm-hmm. Especially just for the month of Pride. And I think it definitely, you're right, it definitely goes beyond that. And it's really showing kind of that ultimate true commitment. And so first of all, you know, knowing that it does extend beyond just the month of June. But, you know, I would say that it really takes a concerted effort to make sure that you truly are an inclusive organization. So, you know, and typically where it starts is looking at internally from your employee base, or your workforce, you know, are you creating an inclusive place, an inclusive company for your 2S LGBTQ plus employees, and making sure that you're representative of the communities, again, in which you're working and living. So certainly looking at that internal piece first is, you know, what are you doing for your employees and within your workforce? I'd say the second then is really looking kind of externally, what are you doing to support the communities in which you're working in and operating in? So, you know, rather than just throwing that rainbow sticker on your front door, are you actually involved in the local pride organizations? Are you helping to support them in some way? And, you know, whether you're a small bakery or whether you're a large, you know, manufacturing company, you know, there's ways that you can provide some level of support to queer organizations within your community. So I'd say that's kind of the third or the second. And then I think the third, you know, I go back to what we were just talking about, really, you know, looking at the greater impact from supply chain and how can you leverage your purchasing habits to support the community. So again, whether you're a small company or a multi-million dollar company, everybody is buying goods and services. So being deliberate about how you're spending those dollars and spending them within the community makes a significant impact. So I think those are just, you know, three examples that I would say of how any company, regardless of size, can really make that commitment and show their support of the 2S LGBTQI community. Yeah.
And I mean, like just our own kind of firm, we just went through the Rainbow Registered kind of program and accreditation. And I thought that was a really enlightening kind of perspective because it was very, you know, supported, everything had to have like supporting documentation and proof and all of that. Kind of walk us through that program for all of those small businesses across the country.
Yeah, well, and congratulations on that. So thank you for that. Because as you pointed out, it's not an easy journey. Like it is meant to be a program that really, you know, accredits a company's and business's policies and practices. And there's a host of criteria that we're looking at. We have different pillars that we're looking at in terms of leadership support, in terms of what you're doing, some of the points that I just mentioned around, like, what are you doing within your community? What sort of policies do you have for your employees? So there's all of those criteria that our assessors will work with the businesses to go through each of those to make sure that you've met those criteria. And I think an important piece of this program is really to be able to work along with the company to make sure that they have an understanding of why this is important and how to achieve some of these if you don't have these. So I like to think of this as something that is continually to progress you as an organization, as a business, to continue to advance the work that you're doing within the community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have many businesses that, you know, perhaps don't necessarily get accredited or pass the first go. But what we do then, we work with those businesses to help identify what can they do, what are some of the policies that they can implement to help to create that more inclusive organization. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something, you know, perhaps off the top of my head, something like inclusive washrooms. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have gender neutral washrooms within your facility for your employees or for your customers? Mm-hmm. You know, so things like that that we'll walk through the companies with and help to guide them along the journey. But you know, once they have become accredited, once they've kind of met the threshold of the various criteria, then you become Rainbow Registered and you get that. Then you get that that recognition with. So we do give you a rainbow sticker that you can put in your window. But I think what that does is it's verified. Yeah. It's a third party verification. Right. So it is, I think, from a consumer or from an employee perspective, it gives them that assurance that it's, you know, this company, this organization, this business has actually gone through the efforts and they've shown, they've validated that they are mm-hmm. an LGBTQ inclusive organization, as opposed to, you know, again, them themselves just throwing a rainbow sticker on the window.
Yeah. And I'm going to say like surprised by how thorough it was, and you need like third party, you know, documentation from either clients or like articles or that was not just from us that showed and proved our support. And so I thought that was really interesting, but it was also a real like two-way conversation. It was kind of like, hey, look, this is what I've got. Like, is this kind of work? And then it's kind of like they've come back to say, hey, like, actually you could try and do this. Like, this is an easy tweak you could do that helps with policy, or, you know, like, so I feel like it was thorough kind of review, but it was also a conversation to really not just, it's not like a test where it's like you either pass or fail. Like there's kind of a process that you go through to help you along the way. Cause I think everybody wants the same thing and it's just kind of like helping us get there. So I thought that was an interesting program that you guys offer.
Yeah. And absolutely. And thank you for that, because I think that is an important element of this program. And it really is, again, to continue to help advance every business and help to kind of push them, if you will. And we're also not saying that, you know, once you've got the accreditation, the work is done. I mean, I think far from that. I think, you know, that all that initial accreditation means is that you've met that kind of that baseline, that threshold. But we want to continue to push you to advance what you're doing. And so that's where, you know, those conversations that we're having, as you pointed out, can say like, hey, this is good, but have you thought about doing this, which would help you even more in terms of, you know, supporting and being a more inclusive organization. So it's that continued journey, I think. Mm-hmm. We need to continue that, the work that we're doing to make sure that we are truly inclusive.
Okay. So the CGLCC has a great supplier diversity program that helps businesses ensure that they are getting diverse kind of suppliers and that they do include the LGBTQ owned businesses. And so I guess part of my curiosity is that, you know, isn't it against the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom to discriminate based on sexual orientation, even if it is for affirmative action?
Right. And absolutely, you're right. It is against the law to discriminate. But I think that the key piece here with our supplier diversity program is that this is not about preferential treatment. This is about equal access. So again, what we know is that diverse-owned businesses and diverse-owned businesses broadly and LGBT part of that are underrepresented in corporate public supply chain because they just don't have that same opportunities. They're not being invited to compete. They're not being invited to the table. So our position here with our supplier diversity program is we need to open up that invite list. We need to make sure that corporations, companies are inviting diverse-owned businesses and LGBTQ-owned businesses to compete on those procurement opportunities. From that, they have to compete just like everyone else. So they have to compete on price, on quality, on everything else. So it is really just that equal opportunity, equal access, foot in the door. And then from there, the businesses can take it and run. So it is up to the businesses, obviously, for them to compete and to put themselves out there. But our hope is that what we're doing is at least changing the minds of corporations, of governments when they're looking to go to procurement, just to make sure that they're thinking of opening it up for others to compete. And it's not about giving them, you know, a contract just because they're diverse, but it's giving them that opportunity because they're diverse. And then they can compete just like everyone else.
Right. So I think that makes sense. I think that it's about really the companies identifying themselves so that essentially organizations can choose to be diverse. They can choose to compete freely after that with their various suppliers and that they can make informed decisions after that, where if there are two kind of suppliers that are equal terms and one of them, you know, is LGBT owned business, maybe they want to support those businesses and they wouldn't have known that without the accreditation program or the supplier diversity program, it wouldn't be a criteria. And so, I think that's a really interesting perspective. That's good. So we've talked about the chamber, but I guess let's talk about you specifically, you personally. And I guess you've spent your entire career advocating. So you've been promoting LGBT travel in Canada since 2005, and then now with the CGLCC since 2003. And so advocating can be such an emotionally draining activity, right? And so how do you manage your hopes, your successes, and even your disappointments over the years?
I think emotionally draining is a very good description of it. I think having worked, as you mentioned, you know, 20 years now with the chamber in advocating for small business, and it has been exhausting. I think, the amount of education the amount of work that we've had to do to get people to understand what our community has gone through, what it has faced, has been a lot. But I think it's those small wins that keep me and keep the team going here. I think, you know, obviously this $25 million announcement by the federal government earlier this year, huge win. And I think that just, you know, provides so much invigoration for the team. But it's sometimes those small wins that, you know, we hear of a small business that, you know, won a contract with one of our corporate partners. You know, we see one of our young entrepreneurs that's gone through our youth program, you know, launching a new product and starting to distribute throughout the U.S. We see some of the champions step up and be recognized for what they've done within the community. I think those are some of those small wins that just keep us going. And, you know, I think if you would have asked me 20 years ago, would we still be doing this? I would have said, I think my hope was no. And I think we've certainly advanced a lot over those 20 years. But, you know, what we've seen lately happening across this country and around the world has just shown that the work is far from over. You know, our goal, you know, we are a business organization, so our mandate is really to drive economic inclusion. But we do that to drive social change. And so this is our way to help create an inclusive country, an inclusive world that, you know, all LGBT individuals, whether you're entrepreneurs or not, can feel safe and part of our broader community. And I think what we're seeing lately is just that there's still so much work to be done. And so, you know, at the end of the day, that's what fuels our fire. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what keeps my team going, because we know that many of our community are still being targeted. I was speaking to one of our partners on this weekend who had an incident of anti-trans hatred. And that gets me so fired up, like I said. And it makes me realize that we need to continue to push. We need to continue to work to support our community and help them to feel safe and to feel welcome. Okay.
So. Yeah, that can provide so much kind of motivation. All the small wins kind of help motivate the team, and seeing these like life-changing decisions that are made by big companies to support all kinds of businesses, like, really help kind of invigorate that. And I can see that. And I guess for you, what's kind of next? Like, what's next for you and for the CGLCC? What kind of big projects are you working on now?
Well, the most immediate next big project is our gala, which is coming up in November. Nice. So, you know, our gala is really our opportunity to celebrate, you know, the work that we've been doing and the work that our entrepreneurs are doing and our community are doing, our business leaders are doing. So it is really a celebration. So nice. I'm looking forward to that. It's November 10th, this year in Toronto. So this will be our ninth gala this year. So, it's going to be big, and, you know, it's celebrating our 20th anniversary. So
that's cool.
But, you know, I think one of the other things that we've been really working on a lot is around collaboration and, with our other, ecosystem partners that support other diverse entrepreneurs. You know, you've heard me talk a lot about, you know, the importance of, this is not just, you know, a lot of this is not just challenges that our queer community is facing, but other marginalized community members. So whether, you know, Black, whether you're minority, Indigenous, you know, person with disability, these are things that a lot of the challenges our small businesses face are what other diverse small businesses are facing. And so, you know, we've been working a lot over the last few years to collaborate with those other organizations that are supporting those other marginalized community groups. And so next year, we're really looking forward to be doing some very large programming with those organizations to continue to just drive diversity broadly forward, you know, so really working to create greater understanding of how diverse SMEs, small businesses, can really drive and create an inclusive economy and help to advance our economy, especially, you know, given some of the economic situations that we're facing now. I truly believe small businesses and diverse small businesses can be a real important factor in helping to grow our economy. So that's one of the other big things I think that I'm looking forward to, is just continuing to strengthen what we're doing collaboratively across the ecosystem.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I guess I'll put the link to the Black and White Gala in November in our show notes, so that any of our listeners could probably take part. And that'd be really cool.
That's great. And, appreciate that.
And I guess for you, like, how do people kind of reach out to you if they wanted to follow up? Like, should they just go onto the CGLCC website or LinkedIn page, Twitter? Or like, what's the best way to reach you?
All of the above. Okay. Yeah. So our CGLCC website, cglcc.ca. And so my information is there, and it connects to LinkedIn. So, and as well as our organization's LinkedIn. So, you know, and there's also an opportunity to sign up for our newsletters. And so I think that's one of the best ways to keep informed of what's coming down, especially around the federal program that I was talking about earlier. Like I said, where we're going to be announcing a lot of things in the next few months. So the best way is really to sign up for those newsletters and keep informed.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're very, very busy, and I think this is such an insightful conversation that we're having about small businesses and the support that you're providing with you and your group. And so thank you so much for your time today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I really appreciate all the work that you're doing as well to help us raise a profile and raise a voice for 2S LGBTQI plus entrepreneurs. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This episode is brought to you in part by MDASH. MDASH is an agency helping good people be heard. They help progressives, and only progressives, reach their audiences through strategy, design, and content. Whether you're building a communications plan or designing a new brand, MDASH is your partner in progress, because your story deserves to be told. Check out their new podcast, Ampersand, and visit mdashagency.ca for a sample of their great work. Both are linked in the episode notes.
Oh, so on our next episode, we've got Andrea Barlett, who discusses with us some pragmatic perspectives to managing people in your small business. Follow us now to get notified of our next conversations and hear more. Don't forget to rate and review this episode. Thanks.